keep away from any brother who is living in idleness and not in accord with the tradition you received from me. Today, we have the community in Thessalonica being taught how to handle Christian people, that's Christian people, who do not have boundaries. Talking about boundaries in church rank right up there with discussing how much money people give for the spread of the gospel. Isn't that so? Have you ever been in a church with people who have no boundaries? People who treat ministries as if they are their own rather than ministries belonging to God? Or people who are so out of emotional control, they force people to weigh if the blow-up is worth the confrontation. People in church growth circles refer to folks like this as emotional terrorists, and there's a reason for that. Perhaps we have not seen this here, but there is evidence in other churches that if someone adopts a church as their own, then they can pretty much do whatever they please, even if it tears the place apart and throws the church off the rails. Now, how does this come about? The straw man argument goes something like this. Since Jesus let everyone do whatever they wanted, the church has to let me do what I want. Who is to say that I am wrong? Or how about this one? This classic. Hey, look, Jesus loved everyone, so you have to love me too, no matter what I do. You see, it just makes a Bible-believing Christian shake their head. What we see in Scripture is precisely the opposite. What happens when the temple rulers get prickly with Jesus about God and behavior? They are corrected, are they not? And today we see evidence that the pushback against ungodly behavior continued after Jesus ascended. What does the author say? Stay away from people who are living in idleness and not in accord with the traditions you received. Now, how about that for a Sunday morning? Maybe believers should remind ourselves that we don't get to say whatever comes into our heads at the moment. And maybe we should actually think about how our actions build up or hobble or even split a community of faith. It is true that an order is necessary in a community if we are going to create an environment where Christian teaching can happen, be modeled, and even take root and flourish. But what about allowing everyone to come to church and then just love them? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Well, of course, the big answer to that question is yes. We do invite in order to love, but what is so often left out is this portion about transformation. I say that everyone is welcome here at St. Mark's Episcopal Church, and I mean every single person on the planet is welcome here, and we will do our best to love you. But the church also expects transformation. You know, people don't get to come into a church and then kick back and wait for everyone else to change, to conform to them. You know, this is forming Jesus into us rather than the other way around, rather than Jesus forming us into him. People can and do come here. But transformation is expected by the church. Choose any gospel. And what is it but the work of Jesus in the hearts of the apostles and disciples? Were there mistakes and blunders by the mere mortals surrounding Jesus? Heavens, yes. And we see that also recorded in God's Word. We also see transformation. Sometimes huge steps, mostly inch by inch, and sometimes centimeter by centimeter. The Lord works in us when we allow him. Now, the question is, can the man in Thessalonica be forgiven? Of course he can, if he chooses to act as if that forgiveness is important to him. You know, just as restoration is available to us through Christ our Lord, I am sure that it was available to that man in Thessalonica so long ago, although we don't know what actually happened. He could have repented, or he could have gone away mad. We all have to make choices on this earth that simply reverberate to the life in Christ Jesus to come. Friends, the church is here to offer worship to the one true God in Christ, to teach those in the pew, and to point others to Christ Jesus. Other activities may well be introduced into the church, but they must be scrutinized for compatibility with the three purposes of the church. Foreign behaviors, or destructive people, must not, cannot be allowed to take root in a teaching community. You in the congregation who are teachers by profession know the disruption that can occur when just one person who does not want to learn is in the classroom. The stakes are high, friends. The stakes are too high in church. An effective, vibrant parish, not to mention everlasting salvation, hang in the balance here. And it is in this context that the words of 2 Thessalonians become about healthy Christian boundaries, and not the rants of some megalomaniac. It is within this context that the author is actually writing with love, with Christian love, to the community about what is best for them. Not the bombastic first love of some doe-eyed preteen, but the deep, glowing embers of God's love for His people. Boundaries. There are boundaries in the Christian life, a fact that is obvious, or at least should be, to believers. The priest must act within certain norms of the spiritual office, and the people also must act in a way that fosters the building up of the people of God and the community itself. When either the priest or the lay people do not abide by this, the church loses focus and suffers. None of us get to pick and choose as if we are in a cafeteria. We are in this for the long discipleship offered by our Lord Jesus. Let us understand, Christians do have boundaries. We are held to a higher standard, both priests and lay people. And finally, let us, as the letter to the Thessalonians informs us today, do our work in quietness and not be weary in well-doing. Will you pray with me? Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.